Gender-based violence has been a lot in the news in the last week. And so tonight we're going to deal with the gender agenda, war against men. Is there a war against men? The nationwide campaign proclaiming men are trash was launched from the University of Cape Town after the brutal murder of a young student from University of Cape Town, 19-year-old Yuneni Marwetiana. She's normally just known as Nenny. Nenny was murdered by a 42-year-old Khayelitsha resident and postal worker at Claremont Post Office, Clarence, where we have our post office for Christian Action. And the outpouring of grief and outrage and frustration at this murder is depicted at the actual post office itself. In the femicide, you've heard of genocide? No. Is femicide. Misogyny harms all of us. Rapists should be jailed. Well, the biblical position is rapists should be executed from a Bible point of view. The campaign, particularly at UCT, accused all men of being murderers and rapists guilty of femicide. So we've got a whole new kind of insidious gender agenda, war against men and the family. Guilt by gender. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? What about the scales of justice, evidence, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and all of that? What is behind this politics of guilt and pity? Enough is enough. Am I next? Good questions, but who are they speaking to? Where does this guilt manipulation campaign end? This is just an extraordinary show of solidarity. It's not the first student murder at UCT. I don't remember them getting this worked up about Amy Beale, who got 76 stab wounds from her ANZ comrades in, was it Guguletu or Langa, back in 1993, Guguletu. And she was just taking some of her comrades back, and when they tried to kill her, she was saying, I'm an American, I'm a comrade, I'm here to help you. They didn't care. Even though she's American, even though she's actually over to help the ANC legalize abortion in the country, she got 76 stab wounds. And what did Amy Beale's parents do? They came and they hugged the murderers and forgave them. Can you imagine that there's parents out there so callous towards their own child that they're so totally committed to the cause of communism that their own child's life is nothing as a sacrifice towards the greater cause? And they started a fund to help provide education for these murderers and so on. And Amy Beale, of course, was a Fulbright scholar. She is a leftist. She is as good as a communist. She is here to help legalize abortion, things like that. It didn't stop her being killed by her own side. But UCT didn't do anything like that for Amy Beale. This is quite astounding, quite impressive. They've even got the flag at half-mast of University of Cape Town. And this is an amazing sign of solidarity. And again, you can see the whole university has been united. And then there was the march to Parliament, which some of you are at, and you can see the anger of some of these women at being manhandled by the police. Mr. President, men are raping us, killing us. What are you doing? Enough is enough. Rapists walk free, protesters arrested. That's actually a very strong point there. And what is the president doing? Well, he is talking, and he's promising. That's all he's ever done. I seem to remember 20 months ago when he became president, promising to deal with corruption. Well, can anyone point to one corrupt criminal in government who's been fired or prosecuted successfully? Have they even attempted any?
Remember when Zuma was ousted, and then I watched when he was sworn in, there was no Bible in sight. None. Which before, I told you that at that time. And then you told me that before he had to borrow a Bible.
Yes. I bring my Bible to Parliament every day. Yes. I mean, we saw him lying there. And this man was an SCA. Do you know that he was a roommate of Kenneth Meshew at college? And Kenneth Meshew knew him as an evangelical Bible-believing Christian. So he's an apostate who went to communism after knowing the gospel, at least knowing it in head knowledge. I mean, I don't know what his personal relationship was. But Kenneth Meshew said, we thought of him as a fellow Christian at college. reporting rape equals being raped again in court. In fact, the treatment of victims of rape by the police and by the courts is a total and big scandal. That's something really important. Look at this. This is a very important one. Men rape because they get away with it. This is almost the same as what you read in Ecclesiastes 8:11. Why does crime increase? Because criminals are not punished quickly enough. Justice must be done. Justice must be seen to be done. And justice must be done swiftly. The principle is justice delayed is justice denied. And we've been delayed justice for years in this country on so many things. It's scandalous, absolutely scandalous. And so there's a lot that the president could do if he just followed the law. But what you've got is lots and lots and lots and lots and piles of evidence. And at this stage, no action. And that's true for corruption and so on. Now, the police can't get criminals off the street, but boy, can they get knock off, the clothing and the types of watches and so on. So when you've got brand names and then they've got some things that maybe have been made in Indonesia and it's not the actual Crocodile or Nike or whatever, they can go and clean all that off the streets. Why? It's threatening Chinese businessmen. So they can deal with business competition. They can't arrest illegal backstreet abortionists who advertise with their cell phone number on every lamppost, even outside the police station. They can't get them. They can't seem to deal with litter. They can't deal with crime. They can't deal with deforestation. They can't deal with anything of significance. They can't deal with rape and murder even. But boy, can they get rid of any threats to the Chinese businessman. So what's the implications of justice delayed and justice denied? People went and burned down the house where the postal worker from Claremont lived in Khayelitsha. But did he live there alone? Isn't there family living there? Doesn't this deprive not just this man of a home, but others? Vigilante action is inevitable if the government does not take swift, consistent, effective action. And so when people lose confidence in the justice system, vigilante action is bound to go too far, collateral damage, get members of the family, people who were not actually implicated, and cause tremendous problems. Once you start a fire, what's to stop that fire spreading to the next home? What's the implications? People marching, stop investing your land, your money in a land that lets rapists walk free. It's a very strong argument. But they don't just have to say that. The fact is, it does happen. Every report of crime, every incident of crime, and sometimes it's the tourists themselves getting mugged, raped, or murdered. These words spread all over the world, and the many tourists who would have come here, by the vast amounts, they talk to one another, and you can be sure we are losing tourists all the time. Tourism is a massive input to this economy. I believe that we get something like just Cape Peninsula, 5 billion rand a year from tourism. You lose that, there's a lot of people's businesses and service industries that are lost if the tourism dips significantly. And just the film industry, I believe, is a 9 billion rand a year industry, most of which comes to the Western Cape again, because we've dominated the film market. There's a lot of films that are being cancelled in the Cape. There's many conferences being cancelled because of the water crisis. They've heard overseas on BBC and CNN that in Cape Town, you're not allowed to flush the toilet and you're not allowed to shower even the 5-star hotel, which is unbelievable. I would hope it's not true, but that's the story being reported by BBC and CNN. So the mismanagement of our water resources has again chased away investors, tourists, film producers, and conferences. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. That's so true. So how should we as Christians respond in a biblical and a balanced way? It is irrational to pronounce a whole gender of people guilty. You can't pronounce all males or any people group guilty of any crime. It's not rational, nor is it fair. In fact, why don't we say all postal workers are guilty? The whole post office, because it was a postal worker, that would be more rational. Or all Khayelitsha residents, all black people in the whole world. After all, they blame all white people in the world for something that may or may not have been done by somebody 100 years ago or 200 years ago or something. No. If any individual is murdered or raped, let that be tested in court in accordance with the law. Do not do anything against your neighbor you would not want done to yourself. Do unto others what you want done to yourself. Would you want to be judged by gender, race, class, occupation, residence? It's just, that's not the way you determine guilt. You don't even determine by family. The individual who's committed the crime should die. Not the father for the son, not the son for the father. Ecclesiastes and Ezekiel, these are very clear principles in Scripture. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. There's an opportunity here. Whenever you get people overreacting, such as the ridiculous eulogies off the wall praising Mugabe, there's an opportunity to put the record straight, to speak up for the persecuted, to speak up for those victims of communism, Zimbabwe, and victims of Mugabe. There's an opportunity to teach some history to people who are wanting to rewrite it and or ignore. And the same with UCT's gender war. So, men are trash. They've got t-shirts out in it, and this is the new statement. Men are trash. I don't know if I would want to wear a t-shirt like this, stating anything like this, mind you. But now they're all screaming, ranting, raving. I don't know if you see anger here, or if you just see people enjoying the chance of screaming top of their lungs, but it looks to me like most of them are actually enjoying it. And there's a couple of males amongst us too, also doubtless screaming, men are trash.
Oh.
Okay. Men are trash, but they still got to join. Well, I suppose some men are trash, and know their place. And many are trashy in their thoughts, in their words and actions, both men and women. Some people are trashy in their clothing. And these are people trashing in the hallway at UCT, just pulling everything out of the pigeonholes, mixing things up. This is in the hospitals, just emptying all the trash cans and the dustbins and making a mess. People who do that are trashy. And then you get these people who protest because they don't think Donald Trump is mentally stable. Most of our media and most of our so-called music is also trash. You know, it's called programming for a reason. And there's a lot of trash out there. Trash in, trash out. Garbage in, garbage out. The mouth speaks what the heart and the head are full of. The porn culture has led to the pornification of a generation. What used to be XXX banned, despised, and shocking is now mainstream, accepted, illegal, even celebrated, even getting Academy Awards for things that would have been XXX, totally banned, not even possible, things that were shameful and illegal, just in the beginning of the 1990s, is now mainstream on SABC and so on. Gangster pip hip-hop porn culture has produced a generation with foul mouths, vile minds, perverted imaginations, and selfish, shallow, superficial, and self-serving. Why are we shocked by the fruit of a sick, selfish, and perverse culture? They have rejected biblical time, they've rejected biblical law, biblical authority, they've rejected the foundation of the church, or the world, all of civilization, and yes, things are falling into the quicksand. Pagans for gay rights. Well, this looks more honest. I can understand why pagans would march for gay rights, but why would Christians? When the ANC was talking about legalizing pornography, we warned in Parliament this would be the consequence, increased murder and rape. And they just laughed. I sat there in Parliament. I gave them the testimonies. I dropped this 900-page document, this book, edited by James Dobson and others, the Attorney General's report on pornography in America, 18-month report, 12 top doctorate experts on, and gave the facts. Pornography is the theory, rape is the practice. Pornography is a manual for rape. And the ANC members of Parliament just laughed. Legalized pornography and legalized blasphemy in the media and situation ethics and evolutionism in the classroom inevitably leads to increased rape and murder. And why not? If you're just from goo to the zoo to you, just molecules to mud to monkeys to man, if we just evolved slime, if you came from nothing and you're going nowhere and life is meaningless, and if what Hollywood's objecting is right, and if what they're teaching in situation ethics and life skills in the classroom is right, these are the inevitable logical consequences. And this is what they've been voting for. This is what they've been supporting. This is what they've been subscribing to. Mnet and all the rest, DSTV. So what is behind this feminist anti-male campaign? Robin Morgan, editor of MS, remember that's Ms., as opposed to Mrs. or Miss, Ms. magazine. She wrote, "I feel that being man-hating is an honorable and viable political act." By the way, who is this being depicted on the front of Ms. magazine here? Recognize her? Kali, the goddess of Hinduism. You've maybe seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Kali cult, human sacrifice. Now, Kali is always depicted having heads. Heads of different men that she's black widowed, effectively. And decapitated, blood trickling out, holding by the hair. And so she's got a sword and in one hand, and she's got a whole lot of heads in the other. She's got the hands of a whole lot of men that she's cut off as a bit of a skirt. And then she's got the skulls of different men she's killed around her neck. So they've left that off and they've put a dress on her this time. And I've got a baby in a womb, probably for her to abort, in this one. But Kali, a female goddess who hates men, who kills men, like a black widow. And so that's on the cover of Ms. Magazine. Hating men is an honorable, viable political act. I feel that man-hating is an honorable and viable political act, and the oppressed have a right to class hatred along with the class that's oppressing them. In other words, in this case, they've moved from class warfare to gender warfare. From being the oppressed to being the females, equally oppressed. And instead of it now being the bourgeois class being the oppressors, now the males are the oppressors. So it's basic communist terminology that's moved in under the banner of feminism. But feminism has got nothing to do with femininity. In fact, feminism's anti-femininity. Linda Gordon wrote, "Families must be destroyed, and people must find better ways of living together. The breakup of families is an objectively revolutionary protest. Smash the racist, sexist, anti-gay Family Protection Act." What's the Family Protection Act? Well, it's an act to protect the family. So the lesbian gay focus of people's anti-war mobilization, which is a totally communist movement, by the way. You'll see how the Marxist revolutionaries and the gay rights and the feminists all work together, basically. The nuclear family must be destroyed. Whatever its ultimate meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. To achieve the revolution, you've got to break the family down. Families make a society strong. As goes the family, so goes the nation. The Organization of Women in America, now National Organization of Women, NOW, declared marriage constitutes slavery. "We must concentrate on attacking this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without abolition of marriage." So women who are not married are so much safer, better protected, better provided for, so much less vulnerable, aren't they? Right? Well, no, actually it's the other way around. But this is what...
Perfect. This, it's not slavery.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's profit. "It's important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not to live with men." What they're offering, you'll see in a moment. "A woman's guide to financial security after divorce. Who needs a husband?" Front of Slime magazine. "All of history must..." I'm still quoting. "All of history must be rewritten in terms of oppression of women." Now, you may wonder what's going on in some of your history books. Sometimes you look and think, what? Maybe it's a film, maybe it's a book, maybe it's a documentary, and you think, what on earth is this coming from? Well, you've got to understand, revolutions are all about rewriting history. Karl Marx said the first battlefield is the rewriting of history. So to rewrite all of history and all of theology and everything else from the term of revolution, you might do it in terms of black theology, women's theology, workers, the poor, whatever. Doesn't matter. I mean, they don't care. They don't care for women, they don't care for men, they don't care for children, they don't care for blacks, they don't care for the workers, they don't care for anyone. They all suffer more under communism. But they'll use it as a revolutionary tool. All of history must be rewritten in terms of oppression of women. And so here you've got women's equality. And I must say, when I look at this, I think, dumb liberals. It's just unbelievable that we've got people so stupid as to march for their own destruction. How long must women wait for equality? Equality? Equality, there is nothing resembling equality in what's coming. Women used to be respected and protected. And now they are despised and used and abused and trafficked. And this is meant to be liberation. What has women's liberation achieved? It's taken women from a position where men stood up, offered them the seats, tipped their hats, respected, helped them, and so on, opened the door for them, things like this, to where women are trashed and abused. And Nelson Mandela, one of the first things he announced as new president is he had signed legislation to enable women to work in the mines. How many women want to work several miles underground in the mines? And the atrocities that go on there is just beyond comprehension. I've spoken to people who work in the mines. It was one of the dumbest things ever done. Now, what does keep abortion safe and legal have to do with equality? Women need equality, and equality is directly linked to keeping abortion safe and legal. Why? Well, they can't be equal to men if they're tied to bring up the next generation. So aborting the babies is an essential part of liberation of women. We must go back to ancient female religions like witchcraft. Still quoting from the same witch. Oh, yeah, well, yes, and so, of course, we've got everything from Pokemon, little Lever Hexie, through to Harry Potter, and the Twilight series. Are the Twilight series not heavily into, well, okay, sort of loving some dead zombie-type, vampire-type thing? Why so many women are so excited about this whole Twilight series boggles the brain, but anyway. Never bothered to watch one of them. But the abortion matrix film is fascinating. It's over 2 hours. It's well worth seeing. We know the person who's done it. And it shows you that the abortion clinics in America that they've investigated overwhelmingly are witchcraft covens run by witches, satanic covens, Wiccans, and so on. And that they can even go on the websites of the abortion clinic, you know, director all the way through and so on. Then you look at the local coven, and it's all the same people in the same hierarchy. And then there's some people who've been converted to Christ and testified, you know, I was the daughter of the witch who ran the coven, who was also director of the Planned Parenthood clinic, and this woman said, my job was to get pregnant every year so that there was a newborn that they could sacrifice. And that her job was just to produce babies that would then be killed at a sacrifice because, as she said, what Satanists want the most of is innocent blood. The most innocent blood of all, the most pure sacrifice that they can give to Satan. And so that there's actual abortion clinics where they're not just some callous individual who's willing to do abortions for money, but they're actually Satanists with a religious motivation, with a goal of killing babies. And this to them is part of, just like how we might be out there wanting to win souls to Christ, they're out there wanting to kill babies for Satan. With the same kind of evangelistic zeal. And so the abortion matrix is a very disturbing and very well-made film. And again, something else that would be well worth seeing in the run-up to the next life change. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, declared that the best thing you can do with a baby boy is to kill it. Now, I've seen this quote put in all over the place on social media. The most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. But the quote I've seen in the book is, with a baby boy, is to kill it, which is interesting. But obviously, I'm sure she's happy to kill any baby, but I think she's extremely happy to kill baby boys because she was overwhelmingly a feminist. And she's written Woman and the New Race, and The Wickedness of Creating Large Families is chapter 5. Slavs, Latins, and Hebrew immigrants are human weeds, a dead weight of human waste. Black soldiers and Jews are a menace to the race. Abort them. She even said, we don't want it to become known that we want to exterminate the Negro population. We need to get some black pastors who will work for us to popularize us so that we can put these abortion clinics in the black neighborhoods, so that we can get rid of them. This woman was as wicked and evil a genocidal little witch as you could imagine. No woman can call herself free who does not own and control her body, the motto, no gods, no masters, which isn't actually true. Yes, she really served Satan in the most effective way, and Planned Parenthood looks to her as their founder. Keep abortion legal. I am the face of pro-choice America. But every abortion stops a beating heart. Abortion is murder.
Yeah.
You must not murder. So we go to Parliament at the gates on the 1st of February every year to remind people of what life is and what abortion is, and call people to choose life so that they and their children may live. So Robin Morgan, another one of these feminists in America, has written Sisterhood is Powerful, an analogy of writings from the women's liberation movement. Now, the word liberation is not in there by accident. All these feminist leaders in America were communists, knowing communists, conscious communists, although most of the people they recruited, of course, were not. But in the term of women's liberation, they didn't realize they were also serving the Kremlin. In fact, these groups are all funded by the KGB, and we've got so much information out there for it. For example, Cape Town, our in conscription campaign was run down the street, down Park Road, at the Rondebosch Congregational Church, now Rondebosch Community Church. And they had their office there, the regional office. And it all came out when Soviet Union fell, the KGB files came. The KGB wasn't funding some or most. They were funding every single one of the in conscription campaigns, every one of the pacifists, Ban the Bomb and all the other groups all over Europe and all the way down to South Africa. They're running our ECC, in conscription campaign, which I call the Every Coward's Choice. They're running the Women's Liberation Movement too, funding them. Unite for Women's Liberation. Women strike for peace and equality. Sisterhood is powerful, end the war. The women of Vietnam are sisters. What's Vietnam got to do with this? Well, remember, they're being run by the KGB, and at that time, the Soviets were running a surrogate war in Vietnam, which was leaving the Americans dry, not just of money, but of men being killed in Vietnam. And so they were getting them to march against the war. What war? A war against communist terrorists in Vietnam. And so you may think, what's that got to do with Women's Liberation America? Well, remember, they're run by the same people who are running the war in Vietnam. Dear sisters, dispatches from the Women's Liberation Movement. Gay power, black power, women's power, student power, all power to the people. Did you notice who's not on that list? WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, particularly the male version, but any Protestants, any Christians would not be included. So, for example, I remember being up at UCT even, and one of these students was shouting about power to the people. I said, well, I'm one of the people. He said, you're not one of the people. I said, are you telling me I'm not a person? No, you're not a person. I said, well, who's a person? He said, a member of the party. You're saying a member is not a member of the Communist Party, is not a person? I said, no. So when they speak about all power to the people and the people shall rule, they mean the party shall rule. I don't know if you realize that you're not a people, you're not a person, unless you're a member of the party. And that was true during the French Revolution as well. If you weren't one of the revolutionaries, you weren't a person. You're just a cockroach, effectively. Chauvinist, beware. Women's liberation will get your wife. Have you heard the homos also, you know, we're going to sodomize your sons and so on? That's what they chant. Even heard them at Sea Point in their march. So these people, they have got an agenda, and it's from the pits of hell. Real men are feminists. Now, forgive me while I just choke a bit. Well, I'd say no real woman is a feminist either. Radical feminists declare a man's role is uncertain, undefined, and unnecessary. Feminists are the majority. Well, I suppose they are, considering how men die early by irresponsible driving habits and things like that. Maleness is an accidental recessive mutation. It is abnormal. It bodes no good for the human race. Just think about that for a moment. Don't you need both genders for the human race to continue beyond the next generation? How is one superfluous? Putting a man on the moon was a good start. We should put all the men on the moon and then turn off the oxygen.
There is no oxygen there.
What they meant, whatever. But you get what they're saying. Gloria Steinem declared, women need a man like a fish needs a bicycle. They even made a t-shirt for that. A woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Yeah. I can imagine a fish would have great trouble with the pedals, considering they've only got those sort of... It goes sideways too, which is how are you going to do the pedals? With the hands, how do you steer?
Yeah.
And then Gloria Steinem also had to get this T-shirt, I Had an Abortion. Which she smiles about. I mean, it's like, this is a good thing. Something to celebrate. What is that sign? Is it a triangle? It looks evil, whatever it is. But that's the Illuminati triangle. Yeah. Now, again, the Ms. magazine. Ms., not Miss, not Mrs. And so they've got everything. Jane Fonda, who's a complete and utter communist, talks sex, politics, and religion with Robin Morgan. And 5 ways a woman's heart differs from men. Wait a minute, we thought there's no difference. So, we're all the same, but men are evil. There are no racists, but whites are evil. Yeah, that's that kind of thing. Again, you did notice the anti-war movement? How can we stop the war in Iraq?
How to teach peace,
yeah. Ms., special issue on men. Yeah. I mean, really, not good. Fighting words. Robin Morgan, a toolkit for combating the religious right. Make no mistake, religious right's what they think we are. I mean, anyone who takes the Bible seriously is religious right, or far-right extremist, you know, sort of thing. So, I just love this. Here are the real words of our country's founders, free of the prison of right-wing distortion, and we've never needed them more. Well, we've got the words of the American founding fathers, and they are embarrassingly conservative. In fact, people have got into trouble in America for quoting George Washington or Thomas Jefferson for hate speech, including taking straight from the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution and putting it out there, and it's being banned and blocked by Facebook or Fakebook by Zuckerberg because it was hate speech, but it's the exact words of the founding father of the United States and so on. Now, there was a time that Father Knows Best and programs like it were popular TV programs, but that's a very long time ago, you know, where nuclear family, where dad's the leader, provider, protector, teacher, and so on. And now, most films portray fathers knowing nothing at all. Even the dog in Beethoven was more intelligent and perceptive than the dad. Even when it came to business choices and contracts, the dog knew that the father was making a bad decision, and the father was the only one who didn't know. And the head of this family is the one with the tail. And now this is a family-friendly film. This isn't some R-rated, nasty, horrible. This is a family-friendly film that's just praised by family-friendly groups. But, you know, the best you can get of dads now is that they're stupid, as opposed to evil. If you knew what the average Hollywood director, producer, and scriptwriter and star believed, you would not respect them. And that's why this book in our library is very valuable. Feminism is the theory. Lesbianism is the practice. That's their slogan. Women must become disgusted with every aspect of femininity. Just for you to notice, this is quoting from Ty Grace Atkinson, leader in the NOW movement, National Organization of Women. Feminism has nothing to do with femininity. I mean, personally think, why would you be anti-feminist? Don't you like females? Well, we love femininity, but feminism is anti-femininity. Women must become disgusted with every aspect of femininity. You must become a lesbian to be fully feminist. I mean, how much more clear can that be? So, feminism encouraged women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians. That's a pretty good summary of the agenda. Ty Grace Atkinson, who said all this, getting arrested, of course, and yes, wearing a sticker on your forehead is a great way of communicating your message. And she's still around, hasn't practiced euthanasia yet. Charlton Gilman said, housewives are parasites with the aspirations of a guinea pig. Wow. Think how much more meaningful it is if you work in a factory or in the mines. Kate Lombardi says, Mother's Day is sexist. When you've got feminist dispatches and you can't tell the difference, I mean, how would you even know there's a woman unless there was something suggesting there's a woman? Because I think that's the goal. Androgyny is definitely a goal of feminism. And here's Vivian Gornick, being a housewife is an illegitimate profession. The choice to serve and be protected and plan towards being a family maker is a choice that shouldn't be. The heart of radical feminism is to change it. So, when it comes to abortion, we're pro-choice. When it comes to whether you want to be a homemaker and invest in your own children, raise your own children instead of having some government drone or child abuser abuse your child in some childcare, that's a choice you're not allowed to have. You shouldn't have that choice. So, pro-choice doesn't mean you get to choose on important things like, do you want to own a gun or something? No, you shouldn't have that choice. The only pro-choice when it comes to abortion. And even then, they love China's policy of one man, one family, one child. And the one child, one family policy, which was forced infanticide after, the pro-choice for chariots. So they're not even pro-choice. They were happy when China said you don't have a choice. You're not allowed to have more than one child. And if that child died, tough. Yet social scientists have proven that this long war against fathers has actually produced catastrophic social consequences. Everything has consequences. The vast majority of prison inmates come from fatherless homes. I've sat for a supper at the Kelvin Grove down the road with the Commissioner of Police some years ago. And I said, I believe that a disproportionate amount of gangsters come from fatherless homes. He said, you've been ill-informed. All of the gangsters come from fatherless homes. I said, all? Not most? Yes, all. At that stage, she said, there's 100,000 gangsters in the Cape Flats. He said, everyone came from a broken home or didn't know who their father was or hated their father and so on and so forth. He said, if they even knew who their father was. He said, when people suggest that what you do behind closed doors has nothing to do with anyone, he said, it's got everything to do with everybody because we've got to pay for it. Most of the crime, most of the prisoners, most of the gangs, most of the murders, most of the vandalism, theft, everything else is being perpetrated by criminals, most of whom come from fatherless homes. Children brought up in broken homes with abusive or absentee fathers or born out of wedlock or raised by single mothers are much more at risk of failure at school, involvement in drugs and drunkenness, depression, sexual promiscuity, gender confusion, gangs, crime and violence. On every social indicator, a broken home is a disastrous home. Now, it's not to say that some might not beat the odds, the Ben Carsons of this world and so on, but they're going against the odds. The odds are against them. It's the biggest social indicator. The social engineering disaster of government programs subsidizing sin, they call it living together, used to be called fornication and living in sin. Funding unwed mothers has led to social disintegration. Just take, for example, my wife, Lenora, who was born in Europe and raised in Austria. All of her friends from school, when she had a reunion party some years ago, all of them were unmarried. And most hadn't even gotten married. And it was because you got heavier taxes if you married and less taxes if you're not married. So living together with your boyfriend was financially beneficial. The government was encouraging people not to get married by their tax policies. And so it's just insane when you do that sort of thing. And what damage it does, and of course they'd all gone through multiples. Just one woman, for example, that we know, she's got three sons, all with three different fathers, none of whom stuck around for long, and one wasn't even there for the birth of his son. So, you know, that sort of thing is normal in a situation like that. Speaking to one of our people, Christine McCafferty, who worked here and helped produce the Pink Agenda book, when she went to England and I was visiting her and her husband, Rob McCafferty, she said, everybody here in this whole section, this area where they're living in, everyone here has got children. Every single child has a different father in the same household. There's no continuity. They're all on drugs. They're all drunkards. None of them work. They're all on welfare. The entire neighborhood said was just made up of basket cases. Whatever a government subsidizes, you get more of. By the socialist state usurping the role of fathers and paying young girls to fall pregnant or out of wedlock, we now have millions of single parent homes with all the juvenile delinquency that goes along with that. It takes a father and a mother to raise a child stably. And it's just wicked that governments are encouraging people to go it on their own. And what are they doing with the extra taxation? Forcing both husband and wife to go out and work is absolutely criminal. Because, and now you've got vast amount of men unemployed. Well, if you weren't forcing all the women to go to work as well, you wouldn't have so much male unemployment anyway, and the children would be raised more stable. The things that go on in a lot of daycare, the abuse of children and the bullying that goes on, and the abuse by the child carers and so on, or what goes on in hospitals, what goes on in retirement villages, and it's criminal. But everything the government's doing is designed to break down the family. Children brought up in single-parent homes are more at risk for every criminal behavior, and on average, they live shorter lives, much shorter lives. 4 years less on average than those raised in intact families with both parents at home. Now, some, like Ben Carson, had exemplary mothers who succeeded in raising children on their own, but that's against all odds. And Ben Carson, who's raised in a single-parent home, says the best thing you can do for anyone's welfare is get them off it. And he believes that passionately because he's brought up in one of these welfare situations. The war against men, the war against masculinity, the war against fathers is only part of a broader war against the family, against Christian civilization, and ultimately it's a war against God. Feminism and pornography, which go together. There are pictures that I couldn't show of UCT protests, which is of students at UCT Women marching topless up there to protest against abuse of women. That really is going to help. You know, treat us with respect while we show you that we don't respect ourselves.
You just go to the beach every year.
Well, that's something else. Yeah. It's feminism and pornography go together. In fact, the feminists delight in promoting pornography. And it's all part of a war against men, against fathers, and against families, and against the faith, and against the future. Fathers are foundational to civilization. It is faithful husbands and fathers who are the producers, the providers, and the protectors who pay the bills and the bonds and provide the backbone of any economy and society, and it train and go to war to fight to protect it all. By discouraging lifelong marriage partnerships, all of society is unraveled. Civilization is not built by wild geese bachelors riding off into sunset, like this traditional Western movie where they ride off into sunset, ever west, leaving a trail of broken relationships in their way. Single men do not build civilization. It's the fathers who stick around and who stay there and build. That's what makes a society a civilization. Anchoring men into a loving marriage partnership committed to raising the next generation in a stable household is what makes stable communities and productive economies work. It's not going to work if the people keep moving. I mean, how are you going to get people to pay bonds and everything else and rates and taxes and keep things together if they just keep moving? However, as communist revolutionary Karl Marx declared, to make a country communist, you need to turn the children against their fathers. Isn't that an intriguing idea? Isn't that the opposite of what we read in Malachi? The end of Malachi speaks of God turning the hearts of the fathers towards the children, the hearts of the children against the fathers. Karl Marx said, to make a country communist, you need to turn the children against their fathers. And that's why the communists are always pushing whatever there is out there. And of course, just like feminism, the race card's also helpful. The white race is absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. No other people on the face of the earth have been able to get along with white people since white people have been in the front. That's said by Khalid Abdul Muhammad. It's interesting, because I've not discovered that in the field. When I go to the field, I find they want missionaries to come, and they want you to keep coming back, and they're pleading with Uncle Erlo to come down to Tugela Valley and giving him farmland. Please, we can't grow anything here except thorn bushes, and Uncle Erlo has made Tugela Valley flourish with everything from pineapples, guavas, you name it, it's all there. And in fact, in the field, I don't find there's this hostility, but in the university campuses, they teach us race hatred and this feminism and so on, which isn't normal. It's something agitated by Marxists. Louis Farrakhan says, all white men go to hell. They're termites, insects to be exterminated. Now, imagine some white man, like Donald Trump, for example, saying this about any other race. Do you think there might be a reaction? Apparently, race doesn't exist, but white people are evil. It's all their fault. We're very sorry about Nini's murder, but what about the farm murders? Kill the boer, kill the farmer, that's not hate speech. Torturing farmers to death, not a problem. Kill white signs in public, no problem. thousands of farmers murdered, tortured to death. People talking about genocide, not a problem. Farm murders is well documented. Kill the Boer. Government complicity in South Africa's brutal farm murders. Government is totally complicit. This has been well documented by the Farmlands video made by a Canadian. Well worth watching if you haven't seen it. And then there's this British woman, Kate Hopkins, who made The Killing Fields. Speaking about our farm murders as well. What about the hideous tortures and abuses suffered by so many today? You don't even have to go to the Transvaal, that's happening in the Cape. After 650,000 murders in South Africa under the ANC since 1994, why the focus on this one murder in particular? There's always an agenda. Tolerance of evil is evil. Excusing and justifying evil is evil. Abortion is evil. Murdering children is evil. A person is a person no matter how small. Abortion is the ultimate child abuse. Just take two military hospital, Weinberg. This doctor, DeFoss, Jacques DeFoss, effectively banned from practicing medicine for the last 2 years because he counseled his patient that abortion is the killing of an unborn human being and giving the negative consequences both for the mother and the child of an abortion. Something that you'd think is a doctor's duty. And he still hasn't had his chance to defend himself for 2 years, and they've now pushed it to October when he might get a chance to respond to these charges. And so we have life chains and make a stand that babies are a blessing and abortion is murder. ANC seems to stand for abortion, necklacing and communism, or abortion, nepotism and communism, or atheism, nepotism and communism, ANC. So the first Sunday in October every year is International Life Chain Sunday. We've been observing this for over 25 years. And this year it'll be the 6th, Sunday the 6th of October, from 2 to 4. Now, what about Hollywood? Hollywood has been covering up a lot of scandals. In Britain, they've had the rape of justice, with million youngsters in the UK abused, raped over decades without the British police and government wanting to do anything about it because they don't want to be accused of being Islamophobic or racist. Then you get this producer, predator, and pariah, Harvey Weinstein, who's produced all the films out there that have shaped the culture, including Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. First thing you see on the screen is a Weinstein production. And it's not just him. A whole lot of others have come forward too and said that there's lots of these lecherous producers and so on at Hollywood who produce vile films who, would you believe it, they vile themselves in personal life. What a shock. And there's even more. The true biblical punishment for abusing children is a millstone cast around their neck and thrown to the depths of the sea. But gender politics of guilt manipulation is very destructive. The rights of others are offensive. We demand you restrict them. And of course, government and business often love the idea of, oh, give us more power. Yes, please. And these idiots don't realize that they're being used. They're just cannon fodder for some political agenda or maybe a big pharma agenda. Just take how freedom of speech is under attack on campus. Student Representative Council student was suspended from the Student Representative Council SRC for expressing biblical beliefs on a personal Facebook page. Zizi Pai, finally an economics student, vice president of Student Representative Council, she had 4,000 votes that elected her, responded to the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that legalized same-sex marriage in all 50 states in America. She wrote, "We are institutionalizing and normalizing sin. God have mercy on us." And the backlash to her brief post went beyond irrational. Homosexual activist GC launched a vicious tirade of hate and intimidation against her that defied description. Ironically, the attackers demanded tolerance. Homosexual pornography and the most depraved anti-Christian blasphemy was posted on a Facebook page. She was personally threatened, insulted, vilified in the most despicable ways. Her SRC office was trashed, scripture pinned on her walls, was ripped off and stomped on. Semi-naked homosexual activists photographed themselves in an office in lewd poses. Is this sexual harassment? Does this infringe on her rights? No, not according to the used to leadership. Despite the awful abuse and intimidation of Zizi, UCT management repeatedly and publicly expressed their commitment to protect the LGBTQRS rights. But apparently not the rights of Christians. They never came to her defense. So her rights didn't matter. She wasn't a nini. She didn't have body piercing and metal things coming through her nose and all that sort of thing. So she wasn't worth protecting. She's a Christian. UCT management took no action against those perpetrating the harassment and criminal attacks on Zizi Poe. They suspended her for her biblical convictions. Zizi was demanded that she retract and apologize for a biblical statement, which in good conscience she could not do. You see, truth is the new hate speech. During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Free speech is hate speech to those who hate the truth. They don't want you to have free speech, so they invent the term hate speech to shut you up. And if this looks a disgusting picture, yes, who would want barbed wire wrapped around their tongue? But that's what they're trying to do effectively. You're not allowed to say what you mean. You're not allowed to say what's true. You're not even allowed to say what you see. And it's been well documented in the 2-hour Agenda 2 Masters of Deceit documentary, which really gives you the background to the whole, especially the battle in education. The issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. So look at this. Students discussing gun violence in a room with a poster of that's Che Guevara, who was a homophobic, racist, mass-murdering communist who, by his own estimation, killed at least 4,000 people, civilians, in cold blood. He was the Minister of the Interior, which meant ran the secret police, the concentration camps, the death squads, the firing squads, and he killed right down to little girls and children in cold blood. And these students are discussing gun violence while they're glorifying Che Guevara. Are these people just stupid or just hypocritical? Like, abolish science, then she opens her iPad and she doesn't see the disconnect. Never confuse education with intelligence. There's a massive difference between schooling and education, which is why we've tried to stop using the word homeschoolers and start speaking about home education. Because schooling is the last thing we want to give our children. We'd rather that they be educated.
You should listen to Luther when he called the papist and the schoolman.
So Martin Luther, next up, warned us almost 500 years ago, I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be wide gates to hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not constantly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. It's inevitable. And Dr. Martin Luther also said, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God's Word, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. And this is why we must speak up. When Mandela or Mugabe dies and lies are told to set the record straight, the truth will set you free. As Christians, we must speak up and attack whatever point is being attacked. Like right now, men are trash. That's what they want to set the battle on. We need to counter it. Colossians 2 verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. That's why we must reclaim our campuses to Christ. We've got some great resources to help do that. Gender politics of guilt manipulation are destructive, and they're built on five pillars. You've heard of the five pillars of Islam, but here's the five pillars of liberal faith. Hysteria. Denial of reality, thought control, name-calling and projection of guilt. This is what you get every single time. And it's so important that they must raise the volume and they must get more hysterical so that you sort of back away. Whoa, you know, these people are going to burst into tears, start screaming, ranting, raving, accusing me of things. And so they shut down the debate. They can't debate facts. So they've got to have an hysterical denial of reality, thought control, name-calling. This is not actually doing a debate. A debate would mean using facts. And, of course, always projecting guilt. Just you having a different opinion makes you guilty of some heinous crime. You know, but it's homophobia or racism. What are you if you disagree with a feminist? What do you call them? Misogynist, I presume? Do they have another name up there on campus now, aside from trash? It's hard to keep up with it. This is a war against men, yes. But it's far more than that. It's a war against the family. And it's part of a broader war against God. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. And speaking of corruption, crime and corruption in this country warrants a state of emergency, and civil imposer is part of it. The destruction, the crime, just taking carjacking residential robberies and non-residential robberies, these trio of crimes, this is the percentage breakdown, okay? And so they're talking about, this is taking it, Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, or Gangster's Paradise, KZN, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Western Cape's at the bottom. Notice that ours is going up high, carjacking, 8.3% up. And the numbers are numbers of incidents. If I'm not mistaken, this is per month. Here's another one, which is a secret category of crimes against a person, from murder, sexual offences, attempted murder, assault, common robbery, robbery with aggravating circumstances, contact crimes. Oh, gee, we're only talking, and you can see each year going back. So it's 2014, 2015, 2016, and going 600,000 odd contact crimes a year. And these are the officials. Attempt and rape and attempted rape and all of the rest of it. This is pretty bad. The billions of rand squandered by the ANC on VIP protection for parliamentarians. They don't have enough to protect you and I, but they can protect themselves. And then the billions squandered by the ANC on bailing out South African Airways, which should not be a state-owned enterprise. It should be privately owned. Because as taxpayers, we're bailing it out all the time. If it was privately owned, it would either go bankrupt or it would correct itself and run properly. But it shouldn't be something the taxpayers got to subsidize.
Eskom would be profitable within 2 years if it would be privately.
It could, indeed. The billions squandered in bailing out the state-controlled Eskom, the powers of darkness, electricity provider, would be better spent investing in agriculture and training rural farmers and other entrepreneurs. Stop greed, stop Eskom. You've come to fake IDs. Go past pension scams, stop in at bribes, fake passports, third door and right, you can't miss it. So, the way relief aid to Africa is that the ones it's meant to, it doesn't reach, it always gets picked up by the corruption of the gangster on top. Or even better, this poor guy's got a funnel, and he thinks the money's coming to him, but actually it's all going into the pot belly of this creep down here. But don't worry, the ANC's got a handbook on 101 lies and excuses for the modern politician. Gender-based violence is part of a broader lawlessness and godlessness that's endemic in this cancer-governed New South Africa, such as stoning cars, burning tires and roads, burning buses, burning pentechnicas, after losing them, of course, burning town halls like this beautiful town hall in Bloemfontein, the vandalism. There are underlying contributing factors which also need to be addressed, such as legalized pornography, which objectifies and exploits women for profit, the hip-hop and rap so-called music gangster pimp noise, which glamorizes and trivializes rape, crime, and violence, which has even been played by these women while they're marching topless at UCT to protest against objectifying women, the highly irresponsible entertainment industry, which defiles and debases every attachment in society, especially undermining the family, the basic building block of society. The Cantor government has gutted law enforcement agencies in this country and undermined the justice system to such an extent that most crime and violence in this country goes unpunished, the vast majority. And this has encouraged a culture of entitlement and impunity, where they think it's not going to come to trial. I'll walk, doesn't matter. The false narrative of stolen land, whipping up racial hatred against whites and making scapegoats of the small white minority in this country not only distracts many from the failures of government and the colossal corruption, but actually encourages hatred and violence and theft to such an extent that anyone in a crisis can expect to be looted. Throwing of rocks at 18-wheeler trucks, pentechnicons, killing drivers while they loot their shipments, this is a sign of a callous and greedy community. Entire informal settlements, such as at the Dorans, have taken part, such as with the murder and looting of the truck at Tos Rafia illustrates. Now, almost anyone who has an accident by the side of the road can expect the car to be looted, with mobs literally running over the injured driver in their haste to steal anything of value. There was a time when people would help a person in distress. Now they loot them. And this has been encouraged by the government. The glamorizing and encouraging of terrorism against farmers and their families. If this government is serious about gender-based violence, as Cyril claimed, they will ban pornography and vile rap and hip-hop, which objectify women, and stop broadcasting on national TV films and music like this, which glamorize rape and the murders of farmers and policemen. Any society which can legalize the killing of babies through abortion is under the wrath of Almighty God. A true feminist would fight for the rights of pre-born women. Well said. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the most important thing about Christianity in social context. It's hostility to selfishness. Christianity encourages self-criticism and continually encourages us not to trust ourselves, not to trust anybody, not to put any trust in our own understanding, not to lean on our own understanding, but rather to go to the Word of God, the law of God, because otherwise we could easily rush to the wrong conclusions, join the mob, and partake in evil things. Under duties required in the Ninth Command, preserving and promoting the truth. To stand for the truth, to do so from the heart, to speak the truth and only the truth in matters of justice and judgment, to speak the truth at all times, to study and practice everything true and noble, lovely and of good report. Under the sins forbidden by the Ninth Command, the Westminster Standards include the sin of giving false evidence, the sin of lying, the sin of concealing the truth. Our media should pay attention to this. The sin of misconstruing intentions, the sin of exaggerating minor faults, and the sin of perverting the truth to a wrong meaning. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it, and a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. It is better to be divided by truth than united in sin. It is better to speak the truth that hurts than falsehoods that comfort. It's better to be hated for telling the truth and liked for telling a lie. And it's better to stand alone with the truth than be wrong with a multitude. And some people say, you mustn't say this or that because this will destroy this or that about what people think of Mandela or Mugabe. Well, whatever can be destroyed by the truth should be destroyed. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall set you free. And that's why we stand for smashing cultural Marxism with our Christian Action newsletters, with our websites, such as reformationsa.org, and our Facebook pages. So, any questions, any comments on this gender war on men?
Oh, it's kind of sad to say, but I remember in school, we had this whole conversation on whether you as a girl like it if a boy opens the door for you or not. And a lot of the girls said that they see it as an insult because it insinuates that the girl can't do it for herself. So it's completely twisting it because obviously you mean it out of respect, not out of anything else. But
well, it should be respect, like you exactly, first.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's funny how they twist the meaning of.
They have to.
To make it seem like women are, I don't know.
Well, yeah. In 1988, I went to England on, for the first time as an adult. And of course, I stand up to offer my seat in the tram to women and open doors. And I got some dirty looks and even some insults. And coming from Rhodesia and South Africa, I'd never expected and never received any rudeness over here doing that. But in London, whoa, feminism's alive and, I wouldn't say well, but it's poisonously simmering in London. I've actually got slapped in the face for opening a door for her. You know, so.
Lost the Lord long time before we did.
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking. And the amount of times in the London Underground that I've stood up to offer a pregnant woman or a woman with baggage or someone much older than me even, and some teenager dashed in and sat down there with his earphones on. Oh, literally, and this woman still, she is trying to get to the seat, and I've posted pictures before of you know, a string of males all sitting there with some pregnant woman with a shopping bag standing up in an underground in London. It's unbelievable, these. Males deserve to be flogged. You notice the difference. Not every male is a man, not every man is a gentleman. Just like not every female is a woman, not every woman is a lady. There's standards. We shouldn't be using those terms indiscriminately. That's why reading Jane Austen helps. You got to say.
I got two comments. Firstly, tomorrow we're going to be standing at a new abortion clinic in Parklands, which is run under Wellness Clinic.
Wellness Clinic.
Okay. There's no cars, no nothing, by appointment only. They're open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so we can't even go on the Saturday when people have got time. We're going to go tomorrow, whoever has got time in the afternoon. Deline, Mark's wife, was there and got entry to see the doctor. And
doctor?
The doctor.
You mean the abortionist?
With a petition of 450 signatures, which we got earlier on tape, against abortion. And then all of a sudden she got rattled. But anyway, we're going to be standing in front of the clinic and on St. Andrew's, just off St. Andrew, so that people can see what's happening, and let's see what's going on. It will be the first time, and but Mark and Deline will put it on the page or let you know. That's the one. The other one, I love to stir the hornet's nest with his women's lib and equal and so on. I was just telling you about that new scientific research debate in the body, Genesis. And they found out God made man, called him Adam, and they found it was good. And after a while, Adam got bored. He said, God, can't you give me a partner that's equal to me? So God said, yeah, I can do that. It'll cost your arm and a leg. So Adam said, what do I get for it? If they're Christian and they read Genesis, they know exactly what is meant.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, talking about the hatred, the culture of hatred here in South Africa. So the like 3 days ago, I think last time I saw this speech of the Minister of Exterior Affairs of South Africa, who was complaining, saying how yes, South Africans have fought very hard to take this country from white men, and now the country is being hijacked by black Africans from all over Africa. If they don't
do anything, they'll find themselves with the Nigerian president. And that's what
like started this xenophobia attack again.
Yeah.
That's like going on now. Like,
well, I wouldn't say they did anything hard. They certainly didn't fight hard.
It's certainly not xenophobia either. It's criminal.
No, it's total criminality, indeed. But there's so many lies and misinformations and distortions in that statement.
And it created a
there's so many answers to what they're doing, but if they'd just be biblical, and if you didn't have freebies for people who do nothing, then you wouldn't be attracting the wrong kind of people. If all you gave people was freedom to work hard and develop, then you'd bring the entrepreneurs and the hard workers and the people who have any good benefit to society. It's when you're running out of water, running out of electricity, things are falling apart and everything's blocked and you've got traffic jams and now people are throwing rocks and blocking the road and burning vehicles. Well, that's when everyone gets frustrated. But this is, of course, the goal of the communists. They want to overload the system till the system breaks. Then they say they've got a solution, put them in power, and then everything gets worse. Like in Zimbabwe, then most of the people flee. So the issue is never the issue. The issue is always a distraction, smokescreen from the real issue.